Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is North South.
Hey, Simpel Kami here. North and South Podcast with my co-host, the Los Angeles Times, Dylan Hernandez. Dylan, you look bright and bushy-tailed today. You look very happy. I must have given you good news before we did the show, which I did. Let's just say the show is doing well. We're very happy with what's going on. And Dylan even told me he likes doing the show. My God, I am feeling good about everything. Dylan, what's going on with you today?
Well, I was at the Clippers last night, and
You're going to stuff.
We don't have deadlines anymore, which is kind of bad because you wind up just hanging out there way too long. And so, as a result, my child was late to school this morning. So,
well, then you shouldn't be happy.
This always brightens my day to talk to you, Tim. So,
well, God, thank you so much, and so with me, Dylan, as you know. Let's just go. Let's start with the newsiest news. You're at the Clippers. We'll get to that. Interesting game there. Really, really proud of the way the Clippers showed up in that game, I'm sure. But the Lakers go out, lose to the Nuggets. Obviously a great team, better than the Lakers. Lakers were not, you know, it wasn't an embarrassing performance. But once again, they get knocked out of the playoffs by the Denver Nuggets. They're not better than the Nuggets. They're probably not better than a bunch of teams. LeBron can be a free agent, I think. Every indication is he's going to at least opt out to put more pressure on the Lakers. You asked him the question. I think it was, can you see this being your last game with the Lakers? Whatever. You tell me how what you phrased it, what LeBron's response was, and what you think that means.
Yeah. So I just asked him, you know, at some point during the night, did it occur to you that this could be your last game in a Lakers uniform? You know, and he kind of looks at me and he smiles and he says, I'm not going to answer that. You know, and I think it's kind of the typical. I mean, we've seen this over the years, right? I mean, at this point, you know, I might have found it annoying a few years ago. At this point, you're kind of used to these kind of cryptic, passive aggressive type messages. And, you know, kind of like you said, I just think he's just trying to put some pressure on the team to give it a, you know, certain, you know, he probably wants a roster upgraded. I'm guessing he wants his kid drafted by them. They have a second round pick, I think, in the 50s somewhere. You know, so I expect at least the drafting part of Bronny James to happen, if that's what he wants. But yeah, you know, he and the team have kind of been in this kind of tug of war, right? I mean, the Lakers, and, you know, this goes back to the last trade deadline when, you know, they kind of floated out this story about how the Warriors inquired about him and how he didn't want to be traded. And so
we're going to talk about that. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, so his stance, I think, obviously, is that, like, you know, and I think the team is very aware of this, right? Is like, if you kind of go back to kind of that time between, you know, Kobe Bryant's retirement and LeBron James's arrival, those were some really bad times for the organization, you know. And like right now, I still kind of think, right, is you can't ever count them out because LeBron James is on the team. You know, they go on a little winning streak and all of a sudden you're kind of like, well, maybe, you know, even in this series, you're kind of like, well, maybe, just because LeBron James is there, you know. You know, now that said, I also think, you know, at least the organization, I think, and a lot of the players were trying to spin this series is, hey, look, we were in every one of these games. You know, I do think that the reality of the situation is that, you know, Denver was really banged up. You know, Murray obviously had, you know, his calf strain. KCP was injured. Reggie Jackson was banged up. I'm not really sure the Nuggets, you know, as you know, I know they're like overwhelming favorites. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point kind of the wheels fall off on this thing. At some point, you know, to me, Jokic even looked a little bit tired at some point in the series. So, you know, while the Lakers were competitive, I do think it was kind of a lot. Some of it was a function of maybe the Nuggets not quite being whole in a way, you know. So, but yeah, you know, I think that, again, the team kind of knows, okay, well, we need this guy. At the same time, we also don't think he's going to go anywhere, you know. And it's kind of funny because I do think after the Westbrook kind of fiasco where, you know, they acquired him at, you know, James's behest, you know, and when that Westbrook. Went bad. Yeah, Russell Westbrook, yeah, right?
Not Jerry West. Did you?
Yeah. I said James. Yeah. I think at that point, kind of the team was just like, okay, well, we're kind of done, like, you know, listening, right, taking orders from you. But now they're kind of back in the same spot again. You know, I do think, again, the reality is that if he leaves, they kind of go back into that dark period. And I think that they don't want that. You know, I did see some stuff kind of floating out there. Hey, the Lakers are going to be, right, they're going to offer him the max contract. You know, I think there was a report somewhere that, you know, they're willing to draft Bronny James. So they're signaling to him, look, we want you back. You know, and I think James kind of figures now, LeBron does, kind of that the momentum, you know, it's kind of gone from, okay, we're not going to listen to you, to, okay, maybe we probably have to listen to you a little bit. And he's just trying to maximize his leverage and probably trying to get the roster as upgraded as he can.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that maybe some of this stems from, or things changed when that story leaked out, that came out, you know, ESPN reported, and absolutely true, that the Warriors called the Lakers about trading for LeBron at the trade deadline, February. And the Lakers didn't say no. They said, LeBron wants to do it. Like, it was very passive aggressive. We know how the Lakers work. We know how LeBron works. You know, I think it was very clearly like they didn't mind it getting out because they wanted LeBron to say, okay, I want to go or I want to stay. It's not this netherworld that LeBron exists in, and he's still in, but they wanted a declaration from him, or at least tell him, listen, if you want to go, we can move you out for Klay Thompson's contract and Jonathan Kuminga, or whatever it was going to be. And the Warriors were interested because they could use Klay Thompson's contract at that point. You can't use it now. He's a free agent. Unless you do some double sign and trade, which is super complicated, is almost never able to do. Fascinating. You know, it was like a showdown, you know, passive-aggressive showdown. But instead of making it worse, it seems like it just, like, continued the understanding that those two teams, those two sides need each other. The Lakers need LeBron. If they ever thought they didn't, he played great in that series. You know, not prime LeBron, but he's 39 years old. This gave you every indication that he's going to be really good at age 40. He will be good at age 40. I don't know how long this is going to go, but he's going to be good for another year. And LeBron, you know, kind of likes that the L.A. drama, likes, you know, being in L.A. If they can draft Bronny, I think that's like a guarantee that he'll be coming back. But what if Dylan Hernandez, the Warriors drop in their three picks ahead of the Lakers in the second round? What if the Warriors draft Bronny James, like, or threaten to? Is there a way, if you Dylan Hernandez, some point, I'm not saying the Lakers want to get off of LeBron, but if they feel like they might lose him now, listen, the way the Warriors could sign LeBron, they can't. Like, he's not walking away from $51 million in order to sign a veteran minimum with the Warriors, and that almost would have to be that. Possibly, if they get rid of everybody, they could possibly, you know, offer him the non-top taxpayer mid-level, which is like $9 million a year. Again, that's $51 million to nine. I just don't see him doing that. But if all those things are in the air and the Lakers aren't sure, and the Warriors call him back for some kind of trade here, knowing Klay's off the table, Chris Paul's off the table. Generally, unless the Lakers really want Chris Paul, I doubt they do, for $30 million. Could you see a way the Warriors can put together a package that adds up to 51? It would have to add up to $51 million. That is enough in talent that the Lakers would listen.
I can't imagine. I mean, like, Steph would have to be involved.
Right? Lynn is not going to do this, Steph. Yes,
yeah, no, right, exactly.
Yeah, it would have to be Wiggins and Kuminga would be the starter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah, I just don't see it. You know, again, it's because they don't want to, you know, LeBron keeps them relevant, you know, and I think that that's kind of the, you know, the situation here, I think, is one of, this is not a well-run organization, you know, and I'm around all these teams in town, you know, the Rams are probably the smartest one. You know, the Dodgers are probably after that. And, you know, they kind of paper over their mistakes with money. This team is neither, you know, like big spend, right? You know, they kind of skimp out on the coaches, right? A lot of the ancillary stuff that they have basketball-wise, they're not putting a ton of money into, and they're not particularly smart. This is – LeBron kind of papers over a lot of, like, their shortcomings, I think. You know, and we're kind of even seeing this right now with kind of the way this Darvin Ham thing is playing out, where he's probably going to lose his job. You know, I thought Barkley had a good, Charles Barkley had a good point last night. You know, that's just a bad team, man. You know, I mean, they constructed a team that relied on some semi-consistency from D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, and Austin Reeves. And, you know, Reeves is a nice guy. If he's your fifth best player, you're in pretty good shape, probably. I'm not sure you want him to be your third best player, which is kind of what you have right now. You know, this is all a big kind of PR game, I feel, you know, and I think that they realize from that standpoint that they just absolutely need LeBron James there. You know, what is kind of interesting here, right, is that you have, usually I think, you know, in sports, teams run kind of their PR operations better than the players do, right? Anytime a player is getting shipped out or something, you know, teams do a really good job of just like dirtying these guys.
You read the stories. You read the I read every one of those stories.
Yeah, what's wonderful here, what makes this ridiculously entertaining, is that LeBron is also really good at this PR stuff, right? Yeah. And he's kind of the one guy that knows how to, like, okay, like, you want to go there? You know, this is what I have to say, or maybe what I'm not going to say, you know? But I think at the end of the day, you're right. You know, the Lakers need him, and he seems to at least, you know, I don't know if he needs the Lakers, but he seems to want the Lakers. You know, he seems to want Los Angeles at least. So I just don't see any way that that happens unless he's just, you know, unless for the first time he's actually being like straightforward here, or maybe not straightforward, but kind of like actually tipping his hand in terms of like, you know what, I've had enough of this. But again, I think if that were the case, we would have seen him leave already. The fact that he's still here tells me that he likes living here and kind of everything that comes with it.
Yeah, so, I think the Warriors might be the only other place he'd really, you know, maybe Miami, but I don't know. I feel like the Warriors would be the one place that seems like it could give him a lot of the same stuff, play with Steph, go out with Steph, Draymond and he are tight. You know, I've heard like, oh, yeah, the Warriors could put Draymond in the trade. No, like LeBron would want to come to a team that has Draymond on it. Like that's part of what this is, why the Warriors are a somewhat, you know, credible, plausible, whatever landing spot for him. I think it would be really, really hard to do. But again, that's why they tried to trade for him. They could have done it back in February. It wouldn't have been the value for the Lakers, but they just would be out of all this. They'd be out of, you know, all this money, and they could really start to do some different stuff. When you start to hunt for a free agent, they don't have any money for it. Now they get off of LeBron, and then it's a different thing. But how much better are you going to be? Yeah, it would have to be a team. If they're going to make a major move, like, you know, Warriors fans want Durant, they want whoever, somebody's going to have to love Jonathan Kuminga. And I don't know that the Lakers go, well, you know what? The guy to replace LeBron James is Jonathan Kuminga. Maybe. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I just don't see it. And you're stuck with the Wiggins contract. Maybe they'd want to do it with Chris Paul. But then, no, that's Chris Paul's LeBron's buddy. Why would you acquire Chris Paul and then get rid of LeBron? Like, all these things seem tough for me. I'm almost thinking the other way. Like, what if the Lakers want Chris Paul? What if LeBron says, give me my buddy Chris Paul? They've never been able to come together. That's the banana boat, right? We know the powerful entities are moving pieces around. Guarantee the $30 million. If the Warriors do that, they can trade him for $30 million. Is there, like, what would the Lakers trade for that? I don't know. Would they give up Reeves for Chris Paul?
Yeah, you know, they seem to really like Reeves. You know, this is kind of one of those, like, right, they drafted him, or they didn't draft, actually, he was an undrafted guy, right? They kind of picked him up and they developed him. He seems like the last piece that they would like, you know, I really think that for, like, Reeves, and now, you know, I'm kind of on the, like, well, you know, sell high type thing, but, like, I don't see them parting ways with Reeves, because I think there are people, you know, in that front office, who's, you know, frankly, their job safety comes from the fact that, you know, they were kind of responsible for the development and the emergence of Austin Reaves. I kind of don't see that happening. And one thing that was kind of interesting too, and kind of the, so the, you know, the Lakers on the night that they got eliminated, that's when they kind of did their exit interviews, right? So it did lead to kind of these bigger picture questions. And kind of one thing that LeBron talked about was how the team, everybody, right, they were always injured. They were always missing guys. And so just kind of from that standpoint, I'm not really sure he's going to be the guy at this point calling for like, hey, you know what, let's bring another old guy in.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, you know, as much
he might, he still might,
but as you know, I still think that as much as you know. he might want to be playing with his buddies and stuff, like his interest in kind of winning might kind of trump that. So I'm not necessarily sure, you know, that's the move. That one I kind of see unlikely also, you know. Where do you see right now, you know, we talk about, you know, obviously, right, we're on social media more than probably we'd like to be. And so you kind of see all these things about fans wanting changes and this and that. And, you know, obviously Laker Nation is having their say as far as what they want to see. What is it like with the Warriors right now? And what do you think the chances are that they actually do something fairly drastic this offseason?
They're going to do something, whether it's drastic or not, I don't know. I mean, this is right in front of them. They set this up. It's Chris Paul, Klay Thompson. I think Chris Paul is gone. I've been saying that, you know, for a couple months now. And they just can't bring him back for $30 million. It's just not, it does not make them any better. It made them better in certain sections of the games last season, no question. But when they go against a faster, younger, bigger team, he's just all the things that they're not. He's old and slow and, you know, it's just unathletic and just the things that they need to upgrade. And I just can't, you know, if he was coming back for $20 million, different thing. I don't think Chris Paul's coming back for $20 million. You know, there's that non-guaranteed year that just makes it like he's going to pick his spot unless the Warriors want to guarantee it for 30, and they're not going to, or they're going to trade him to a team that will guarantee it. And Clay, you know, it's up to him, but I can see the Warriors offer him $24 million a year. It's probably a little bit too much for him, but there's value in having him and Draymond and Steph retire as Warriors, or at least do this together for two more years. That's how long Steph signed. Steve Kerr signed for 2 years. I don't know how much better you get, but it can't be for 40, right? It can't be for 40. So, like, if you have Clay and Chris Paul at 72, whatever they were last year, and you drop that to just Clay for 24, you've just saved almost $50 million. And you can't plow that back into the payroll just because that's not how the cap works when you're over. But it completely wipes out this prospect of a $400 million payroll commitment for a non-playoff team, which is what they were last season. Gives more room for growth for Brandon Pajemski and Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga if you feel it with those guys, and I think they do in, to some extent with all of them. And then you go get somebody. Yeah, I think they could say, okay, somebody who loves Kuminga, we'll trade him for something great. I don't know what that is. I think they could have got Pascal Siakam if they were ready to move on from Kuminga at the trade deadline. But, you know, Siakam's also coming up as a free agent, and I don't think they were feeling great about moving Kuminga if Siakam wasn't going to commit to something long term, and who knows what he's going to do with Indiana. Maybe that deal's already done. I don't know, at least unofficially. But knowing them, they don't like just sit around and go, okay, we're just fine. They're going to want to do something big. LeBron, they will explore LeBron. I mean, they will explore drafting Bronny at 3 picks ahead of the Lakers. I think where this involves, Lakers might have to trade for that pick. Like, the Warriors might force the Lakers to trade them something half decent for that pick. Or some other team could do it, right? Some other team at 51, at 50, at 49. Like, you've got the Lakers there, and LeBron's going to be barbecuing the Lakers over it. I think that's one place where if it's mischievous, if it's meaningful, whatever it is, I can see the Warriors going, we're going to draft Bronny. What are you going to do about it, Lakers? And then we're going to go after LeBron. Many of these things are feints. They never come out to anything. You go, why would they even do this? Like, you know, Iguodala got his last big contract from the Warriors, you know, 3 years, 45, when it just really didn't need to be. Or was that another, like, one of those last deals? And he bluffed that he was going to sign, like, outright with the Kings. He was never going to sign outright with the Kings. Then he was going to force them to sign and trade him to Houston if he didn't, you know. It's like, you can't force a team to sign and trade you. You can keep them and say, you can't go to Houston. They're over the cap. But these things get, you know, bluffed, and they get pushed into, you know, chips get pushed around. I commend Iguodala for his ability to do that. We'll see. But I think the Warriors are going to try to do something, you know, big. They will do something, might not end up being big, but they will do something. They will try to do something quite large. It will be around the Steph Curry, Draymond Green, twosome, whether that's Clay or not. We'll see. I mean, Orlando seems like such an easy pathway for Clay, but maybe Orlando tries to get Paul George, another LA team. Maybe, you know, there's other things that are out there, other teams involved. People have reported Dallas for Clay. You can, you know, again, everybody wants a 6'6" shooter. I mean, a proven game 6, you know, against Oklahoma City shooter. But it, you know, what's that worth to the Warriors? We shall see. But there's pathways for them. There's definitely optionality. They set that up last year. That was kind of what this year was like. Play it out with Chris Paul, but you know that money's coming off. They can do some things. I can't tell you exactly what it is. Brandon Ingram, another former Laker, possibly on his way out of New Orleans. I think that's a name that really should intrigue the Warriors and probably does. He's 27, had a bad playoff series, been hurt a lot, but is exactly what they don't have. You know, this rangy finishing wing who can shoot two and play some defense for you. Now, listen, is he a Warrior mindset? I don't know, but that's the kind of the Wiggins model, as Marcus Thompson says. Like, you know, get a guy who was really, really talented, who was drafted high and is at a point where his team is a little tired of him, and, you know, swing a deal where you got something, you send it to them, and he resuscitates his career. Now, with Wiggins, it only was for like 1 year, but it was a championship year. Can you turn Wiggins and Kuminga into Ingram? Can you turn Kuminga and something else? And like, that's where they're going to try. I can't tell you any of them are going to work. They're going to call about Kevin Durant. Like, that's what they do. The owner loves Kevin Durant. I don't know that they can. Other teams can offer so much more than they can. Like, they don't have the stockpile of stuff. They just don't. It would be better if they had their pick this year, which they will only have if it's a top four. They got to be super lucky in the lottery because they traded to dump Andre Iguodala's contract in 2019 in order to get under the hard cap to be able to take D'Angelo Russell. Another, like, all this Laker Warriors fun stuff in here. I don't know. You know, the big thing is absolutely there, but they're going to try. With them, they're always going to try. Now, it doesn't mean you actually end up with Harrison Barnes or something. I don't know, but they're going to try to do stuff. They have the mentality to do it, and they do have some financial flexibility. They built that into it. And then I'm going to say right now, they're going to be rumored to be one of the teams taking Bronny James. I don't think there's a question that they're going to be rumored to do it because they do have a fixation. They tried to explore with LeBron after he beat them in the 2016 finals. Like, they did. They made calls on him. He was staying. He just won the first title in Cleveland history. But they poke around. They'll poke around on Giannis. They'll poke around on Karl-Anthony Towns. They'll poke around on – like, they'll do it with these big-name players. I just don't know what the outcome's going to be and how likely it is. Another person I threw out there as somebody that I would poke around with is Mike Trout. Undergoing knee surgery, kind of surprise, off to a slow start. 33 years old, has been hurt so much lately. I will say it's sad to see one of the all-time greats just kind of hit a wall, you know, physically, with $220 million owed after this season through 2030. Artie Moreno, we know, gets stubborn. He could have traded Shohei last year and didn't do it. Could have traded him 2 years ago, didn't do it. Has gone through a bunch of this terrible situations. Would he be interested in trading Mike Trout? Would Mike Trout be traded? Where's his career right now?
I mean, I think, you know, I mean, right now he's probably not very tradable, right? It's, you trade him, you might get salary relief, basically, you know.
That's what it is, right? That's what it almost has to be.
You know, and even at this point, you know, just to get kind of run-of-the-mill prospects, you're probably going to have to, you know, even eat some of that contract, right? I mean, no one's going to take that outright at this point. You know, ironically, the one off-ramp that they might have here is the one place to which Artie Moreno would never trade Mike Trout, which is the Dodgers, you know, because the Dodgers have done deals like this before, right? You know, they had Rich Hill for a number of years, and Hill was this guy with a long history of injuries. And they told him, basically, look, we don't need 30 starts from you a year. We need, 15 to 20, whatever, right? Just be ready to go in October. Now, obviously, with the types of freak injuries Trout's had, you know, it's just because, right, let's just say they lay out a schedule where he plays 110 games or something. That's no guarantee that he's going to be ready in October. But I do think that the Dodgers would probably kind of be the one team, you know, because he can't be your horse at this point, right? I think, I don't know how many years he's removed now from the last time he played.
He's probably a DH, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the thing, right? It's, you know, I mean, he seems to like to play the field. You know, I think, yeah, kind of depending on how your team is constructed and stuff too. Now, obviously, with the Dodgers, you have this issue with, you know, Otani now being their DA, so they kind of got that spot locked up. But, you know, he would have to go to a team, I think, where entry into October is almost guaranteed, right? Where you're not counting on this guy to be out there to get you through 162 because, again, you know, I can't even remember the last time he played 120 games. He's got to be at least like 5-6 years removed from that, you know? So, his trade value, unfortunately, is just kind of very low, you know, just given, again, the Angels kind of history with the Dodgers. You know, there was a trade years ago, where I think Jock Peterson could have headed to the Angels and, Artie Moreno basically just kind of got impatient. They had to wait for another trade or for the Mookie Betts trade to go before they could move this thing. Moreno at some point just got impatient, pulled the plug on the thing, even though it could have helped them. And so, you know, there's a decent amount of animosity there between the Dodgers and the Angels. I just don't see that happening. Now would Trout want it? Sure. You know, and, you know, could they, could I see, I, you know, that said, I could see maybe a Matthew Stafford type of situation where, you know, Stafford went to the Lions and like, hey, I did this for you for all these years, you know, could you let me go? The difference here though, is again, if they trade Trout, most likely there's going to be a lot of money attached to that. I'm not sure Artie Moreno is going to be up for that, you know? So yeah, it's just really kind of unfortunate just because we were seeing this year, right? I mean, he was leading the majors with 10 home runs, kind of seemed to be getting back to who he was. And now it's just, you know, in Anaheim, they're just stuck, right? They don't have the farm system. You know, they have some decent looking young players, but they're not just one or two players away from contending. You know, they're quite a bit away from contending there. It's just, you know, they're just kind of stuck in that same place. They've been stuck for a long time.
I threw this out there on Twitter yesterday, and I am still thinking about it. If you're the Giants and you're just desperate for star power and you keep finishing in second for all these guys and there's no guarantee you're going to finish first or whoever, I don't even know who's coming up this year. I guess it's Soto and you're probably not going to get him, and it's Pete Alonso and I don't know that they're going to get him. And would you like, here, Jorge Soler's contract, because you're going to plop Trout in as your DH at some point. And, you know, a decent prospect, and the Angels, you know, cut off 50 million of his 220 remaining or something. Would you do that? The Giants have money. Like, we know they have money, and they could have a all-time player, you know, who's not that guy anymore, but I don't think he's going to be a bad player in 5 years. I think he's going to be continuously hurt, but for 35 million, you chop that down, you know, to, if you, in your head, you say it's actually going to be 27 million, you know, I might do it. Again, I might do it. I'd want to get off of Soler's money just because I figured that Trout's going to be DH and Soler doesn't play any other position, but I might do it. I might, you know, again, it might be an incredible waste. You might be sitting there with Mo Vaughn, right, at the end of his career. You might be sitting there with Pujols at the end of his career. It might be sad, but I might do that. If I get some financial relief, and, you know, getting off of Soler would be financial relief also, I might do it. And again, I don't know the Angels. I don't think Artie Moreno's in the let's just dump him for money, and certainly wouldn't want to throw money into it, but he's going to have to. I don't know that the Phillies are going to do it. I mean, that's his kind of his hometown team, but they got Schwarber, right? I mean, like, you've got that kind of position filled. Not that Trout couldn't be better, but he isn't better now. I don't know. I don't know where else. Yeah, Dodger. I just can't see Artie Moreno ever doing it with the Dodgers, and they've got Shohei. So I think the Giants might actually be in this conversation if they would. It's not a Farhan kind of thing to do, but, you know, if you do it at value, it's a Farhan thing kind of. You know, and if they think it would sell tickets, if they think there would be energy with this, I don't know for sure. I don't know if Mike Trout actually sells tickets, but it would be, you know, if you know you've got young players coming up that you could fill your roster with, and you don't have to go sign Matt Chapman, you don't have to go sign Blake Snell, then I think a $30 million, $28 million investment, whatever it would be, if you get cash offsets, would not be out of the question. I might do it if I'm the Giants. Would Mike Trout want to come to the Giants?
Ooh, that's another thing too. You know, I kind of think that if he's going to, you know, he's one of those guys, I think, that grew up admiring Jeter, right? The whole like one team thing. I think if he's going to go somewhere, he's going to want to know that they're going to be contending, right? And right now with the Giants, Yankees, yeah, we're not really sure, you know? Another thing too, you know, and this was last year, you know, I was kind of asking around people in the league, okay, like, how much is this guy worth right now, you know? And kind of the consensus seemed to be that if Trout were to hit the free agent market, right, and this was, you know, say this past winter, it would have been, you know, 5 years at around 20 a year, right? So we're really talking about paying down, like, from the Angels' perspective, having to pay down half of that contract. Yeah, I just don't see that happening, you know. And again, like, right, and if it's going to require the team taking him in to pay, you know, more than that, you know, I just don't see Farhan Zaidi doing that. It just seems like a trap, right? And you know, I think with struggling organizations too, you know, bringing in a high price guy, right, who doesn't have a history with that team that you're paying a lot of money to, that's going to, you know, prevent you from doing other things. That doesn't work well, right? I mean, that's not a formula for it. That's the guy that winds up getting booed. You know, that's Anthony Rendon right now, frankly, with the Angels, you know, who's getting booed in his own stadium now. You know, now Trout's considerably more likable than Anthony Rendon, but I'm not really sure, you know, but Barry Zito was, like, really liked, right? And, you know, until the end there, you know, when he kind of,
not till the end with him.
Well, you know, he had his little playoff thing, right?
He had that moment.
Yeah, but like,
That was
right? It was so talked. You're right. It was such like a bad situation there. You know, that, you know, I don't think you want to kind of go set yourself up for that type of situation. And I just don't see Farhan doing that. And now, right now, honestly, it just looks like they're just stuck with these contracts. I just don't see, you know,
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That's exactly what you don't want. Angels seem to get into this. You'd think with Trout was the one that wouldn't be that. And it absolutely is just a horrible situation. Let's end this with one time. I just realized, did you see the De La Hoya press conference with Canelo yesterday? I'm sure you did. Oh my, like that was real stuff. Like that wasn't like puffed up. It was like these guys hate each other. And, you know, Oscar used to be Canelo's promoter. Canelo is not happy. He's with someone else now, and they're promoting this fight. And Oscar is like, you put some fucking respect on my name at the press conference. And Canelo yelling back at him in Spanish and some very not nice things and saying some not nice things afterwards. And Oscar responding to it. Like, were you? I was stunned that Oscar was in the middle of that. And I was like, you know what? That's a promoter, right? You're promoting this fight. Now I know about this fight. What was your thought? We both know Oscar pretty well. What were you thinking?
Yeah, well, the day before, I saw something, you know, one of those boxing YouTube sites had something with Oscar saying that he was going to go in and, you know, that he was going to win the war of words. So I knew something was going to be up, right? And it's funny because, you know, Oscar kind of does the, right? I mean, you know, he kept bringing up Canelo's positive drug tests, which were, you know, it's kind of hilarious because he was in, you know, because in that second Golovkin fight, right, for which it had to be delayed because Canelo tested positive for drugs, Munguia offered to replace Canelo on short notice, and the state commission said no. It's weird that of all the places to draw the line, right, you know, the Nevada approved Mayweather McGregor, but would not approve this. But yeah, he kind of found a way to bring that up, you know. And then Canelo, though, is just so kind of calm and like, Canelo's like a guy, you know, and he's like very sure of like who he is. And the stuff he said was very to the point, very direct. And, you know, he accuses Oscar, hey, you're stealing, you know, did you steal from Golovkin, that type of stuff. And what was funny was when the interpreter was interpreting these things into English, you know, he was like, well, you know, like Canelo's got like a grudge against Oscar and he thought that there might have things that have not been right, you know, and that with Golovkin. And Canelo just cuts him off in English and he's like, no, he's an asshole. That's what I said. He's a fucking asshole. He steals money. Fox is the best, isn't it? I mean, like, I'm so upset of the fact that the sport sucks now, you know. Because, like, you can't
Yeah, you need these moments. Yeah, these moments. You know, are, like,
I used to cover these things. You know, every Cinco de Mayo, I would, you know, it's my daughter's birthday this weekend, right? It'd be great to be in Vegas with the family and get to cover all this stuff. But like, he's going to pummel this guy, right? I mean, this is the thing, too. It's like the great thing about this, and you talk about a promoter, this is going to be a beating. Munguia has zero chance. Mm-hmm. This guy is, you know, he's kind of just like your run of the mill, you know. 20 years ago, he would have been a Friday Night Fights type guy, you know, and now he's headlining the big pay-per-view. They got to find a way to pump this up because, frankly, nobody cares, you know, you know, and look, like, right, you know, like my in-laws, right, they'll probably buy the fight and have a big cookout and all that type of stuff, right, with Mexican families, obviously, in Southern California, especially. This is kind of a big, right, this weekend and the fight, it's all kind of part of the, you know, the party festivity thing. But outside of that, nobody cares. They shouldn't care because it's not a real fight. And you're right. This is just a promoter kind of doing his job. What were your thoughts?
I was like, is Oscar fighting this guy? That's what I was thinking, like, can we get Oscar in the ring at age 49? Because it looked like he kind of won. Now, I don't think he's making weight these days. But sorry, Oscar. I know you listen to the show sometimes. But, like, I was like, that would be the fight I'm watching. De La Hoya Canelo. Like, good Lord. That's what I thought. I just thought I saw the juices flowing. I saw, you know, Oscar, yeah, like stepping into the moment as a promoter, but also in a way that like Aram and King aren't like getting ready to fight the other fighter, right? Like Oscar was like, just, like he was the other guy, right? He was the other headliner. Who's the headliner? The one, the guy that's supposed to be fighting him, who was the promoter who like used to have a relationship with, like, it's just such, it's like a movie kind of thing. It's almost like, and I used to remember Canelo, and Canelo's this legendary hero, and so is Oscar, but in a different way. And Oscar's in the business, he's supposed to be doing everything that's right by the fighter, but the fighter now is claiming that he's still, like, it's just so many things. I was cracking up. It was so Oscar, like, he does the interview later, I think, with Chris Mannix and someone else. He's like, you know what, we can say whatever he wants to say, but then he said, I steal money, and that's defamatory, and I don't like that. It's like, yeah, okay, I guess you would like defamatory things. Usually it's like, I'm suing him, or, you know, whatever, like, let's get the lawyer. You know, it was, and I don't like that. Just classic stuff. Hey, we're talking about it. So, and that's kind of one thing, that, like, you know, that's a bonus.
One thing to keep in mind, right, is that later in the day, last night, there was a report that came out that the star of his stable, Ryan Garcia, tested positive for drugs before his big win over Devin Haney. So now, you know, it's interesting, right? Because after Canelo left him, he was kind of, it was a starless stable for a while until they kind of built up Garcia, you know. And during that time, we did see Oscar kind of come out and talk. You know, the one thing about Oscar, I mean, going back to even to his fighting days, right? He knew kind of how to sell himself, you know, and during these times when, you know, the stable's not very strong, he has to kind of become the face of things. And you know what? The sport, you know, whatever it is, the sport needs that, right? I mean, I remember, wasn't there like a year, like in the 90s, like Don King kind of got banished? I can't remember. Like, that's, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And, but they had someone else.
But I remember, though, right? Yeah. The sport needed like Don King. Right. Like they just, you know, and right now, it's entertaining, you know, because the guy, the British guy that does Matchroom, you know, I can't even think of his, I can't even think of his name right now. Right. Not particularly interesting guy. You kind of don't have those, you know, the Arams, the Kings, those guys don't exist anymore, you know. And right now, the closest thing we have to that is Oscar De La Hoya.
Amazing. That is just someone who's covered him a while. That is an amazing transformation. And I was entertained by it. The energy level went up for that fight. And I give him credit. And I also think it was like, he really was pissed off at Canelo. Like, he was like, I put some fucking respect on my name. That's something else. Like, that is something to see at a boxing promotion. All right, let's get out of here. We've been gone long enough. A little glitchiness. I assume it'll be fixed, hopefully in production, not by you or me, but, I think it all came out well, Dylan. Appreciate it. And as always, that is the show for today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.